Hey, this is the Deacon, and this is...
This is Dad. We're recording this on September 10th, 2017, to give you some perspective, because things have been moving so fast, it's really hard to keep up.
There's a lot going on. Politics, yeah. Nature.
Yeah, television shows that should be bringing us together. So let me start with that, because it's sort of lighthearted in a sense. It's, I spend time sitting in bars, not because I drink a lot, because I don't, but I enjoy the bar scene. I like people who come in, and there's always somebody new to talk to, and there's always something that you can eavesdrop on conversations without being totally rude. So I've been hearing some pretty weird things go on in bars. All right, well, the latest one was I was, the bartender was a friend of mine. We were talking, and we were talking Game of Thrones. And this guy comes in who is of melanin-challenged. And he said, oh, I watch Game of Thrones. And the next thing I know, we're having this big discussion, deep philosophical thing about all the characters on Game of Thrones. And then somebody else, this woman was sitting down at the end of the bar, and she joined in. And I was just thinking, everybody in this bar, no matter what race, ethnicity, sex, gender, sexual orientation, everybody's talking about Game of Thrones. I'm thinking, as divisive as this country is right now, the thing that brings us together is this fantasy fiction thing on HBO with dragons.
It brings everyone together in Game of Thrones.
And I thought, this is really, I was like, unfortunately, it was the season finale.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be back for 2 years.
Isn't it going to be that long?
It's a year and it's 18 months. Almost 2 years. It won't be back till 2019.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
They're going to leave it like that?
Yep.
See, now, this past season, great season. They should have ended it. The season finale should have been when he woke up the dragon.
Well, yeah, but you got to...
And then the opening, the very first episode of the new season should have been this finale.
Okay. Well, we...
Because the dragon thing, I'm really good at seeing the formula and seeing things coming in movies. That I did not see that coming. I know a lot of other people did, but that threw me, and I was happy to be finally surprised about something.
Oh, okay. So, see, I wasn't surprised in the sense that they had to equal it out, and the wall had to come down.
But I knew the wall was going to have... I knew they were going to breach the wall. I didn't know how.
Yeah.
But I didn't see the dragon, man. I was like, that was good. Yeah.
I like that. And it was, but see, that's the thing. We can all talk about some aspects of, what's going on. And I mean, is Tormund Redvane going to get together with Brienne of Tarth? after all this sexual tension for years and years and years, is Jaime finally going to decide that Cersei has crossed the line and he's going to hook up with Brienne? It's just all of this stuff. And everybody was contributing their little bit. Is Tyrion really going to betray everybody because he made a deal with Cersei? I'm sitting here going, how come we can't do this about stuff that really matters? How come we can't be having these kind of fervent discussions about housing, about DACA, about letting people into this country, about immigration law, about environmental protections? Yeah. And
let's move on to that. DACA.
Okay. What do you supposed to say about just these people who go, these people shouldn't belong here? I was like, well, wait a minute. Okay, the ones who are born here are American citizens. You can't do anything about them. But if you were brought here as a little baby, I mean, what is the deal? If you brought here and you were under the age of 15, and we're raised here and did everything else, and you're doing everything else right. So why are we going to kick you out?
Right.
And especially if you're productive. And what gets me is...
I mean, their reasoning is just ridiculous. They took 100,000 jobs away from Americans. I was like, but you're not saying the same thing about the corporations who are outsourcing everything to India or China or South America. Yeah, which I have nothing against that, but don't... I mean, come on. You're not saying that against Walmart.
Right, but here's the thing that gets me that's more than that. I wish these people would really talk about economics, about the real money. Okay, I'm not worried about. I mean, outsourcing is. But these
no,
kids.
No, I mean, I'm just to counter their argument that their DACA's taking jobs away from America.
Right.
No, they haven't.
And I'm saying, my counter to that is they're not. Not only are they not taking jobs away, we made them pay $500 every time they registered, and they have to register twice in 2 years. So. 800,000 people paid the U.S. government at least $500.
Right.
Okay, that's some serious coin. Okay, so whatever you think about it, you know, they paid their way in. And then you had to have a job, or you had to be in college, or you had to be in the military. You couldn't have a police record. All the things that you want out of good brown people.
I saw an interview with, there was a lawyer who was a what do you call it, DACA recipient. I'm not a big fan of the Dreamers term.
But see, DACA recipient also sounds like it's a handout.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know what the right term was.
Yeah, I don't
was.
Know. I mean, somebody just said these were Americans. Like, they're Americans.
Well, this one guy, he's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Clearly a contributing member of society. I mean, that's what they, yeah. that's what, yeah. yeah, that's what, at least their definition of it, but they would kick him out? What the hell for? There's
well,
no,
there was
there's
another
no
one
rational
heard.
Reasoning behind it.
Well, we don't have...
But they don't operate on rationality.
Yeah, rationality doesn't make any sense, because, it's just, anyway, so I think that it's stupid to get rid of them. And if they had, and I love that now they're, you know, Trump always blames Obama.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, right. Well, it's Obama's, you know, why didn't he get some of the, because every time he sent the bill to Congress, they rejected it.
Yeah, they rejected everything.
Everything. They had an immigration bill that would have kept those young Americans who came here without their will, against their will, or, you know, they didn't know any better. They were babies. So they're here, and then they had a bill that the Senate agreed to and said, hey, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to let them in and give them a path to citizenship if they do all these things.
Right.
And then the House turns around and goes, nah. Mm-mm. And once again, you know, spent 8 years of the Obama administration, and now everybody's saying, well, they didn't get anything done, or he had all these... executive orders and all these, you know, this Dreamer thing is unconstitutional. Uh-uh. And it isn't, but it's sort of like, well, I tried to get you all to pass the bill and you wouldn't pass the bill.
Yeah, well, they don't
and
like
so
brown
I,
people.
Yeah, so I set up all of these rules that you thought should be in how you keep these people here. We did it, and...
You said no.
Now you're saying no. So it's but it's just like any other. It's just, I don't. For these, some of those people, it's more than just white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Because white privilege now means me. I'm heartened a little bit because I'm suddenly seeing people look at each other, of white people looking at each other and say, this is really messed up.
Hmm.
And they're starting to have the conversation. I don't know if we talked about this on the last podcast, but I'm at a point where it's like, you know, I don't want to have these conversations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were saying that, and then there's this other artist who said a similar thing. She was like, you know, we're tired of talking to y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all need to have this conversation amongst yourselves.
Yeah. You know,
we've been trying to tell you this for decades. I didn't want to listen, but now everything that's happening to us is happening to you, or at least it's It's at least slapping you in your face.
Yeah. Well,
they're not necessarily be harmed by it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, except for the opioid epidemic. Oh,
yeah. Well, see, now that's a whole other thing. I mean, trying to explain to people, you know, it's like, oh, this is really terrible. This heroin thing. It's like, well, it's not heroin. It's the opioids. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, most of them are legal.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're getting it from
Big Pharma.
Mm-hmm, Big Pharma. This is
so,
a Big Pharma thing.
You know, if you
they're just legal drug dealers.
Yes,
that's all they are. Illegal drug dealers.
And
they're cartels,
right? And then you can shop around. I just remember several years ago when Rush Limbaugh got in trouble because he had a back problem, had a back operation, and he was on OxyContin.
Yeah.
And then he got hooked.
Right.
And then it turns out that he was sending his nurse caretaker around to various doctors to get prescriptions for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one who got in trouble.
Of course.
Even though she was, you know, she was being his drug mule.
Right. Right.
And he's on the radio every day talking about how drug dealers are terrible people.
Oh, yeah.
They could stop if they wanted to. Yeah, right.
Dude. No, no. Now, he was telling folks that this Hurricane Irma was all a big hoax, climate change hoax. And then, I think it was yesterday or the day before, found out he's evacuating, but he hasn't told anyone else to leave.
Right, right. Yeah, well,
you know,
see.
Like, you idiot, you're just telling people to stay there and die. And you're gonna break out.
Well, and then also some of this is, I get tired every time they say, okay, everybody evacuate, and then they say some of these people are gonna stay, and some of them are just, I don't know why you're staying.
Some people
can't leave.
Yeah, some people.
You know,
can't.
If you're homeless or you're really poor.
Yeah.
You don't own a car.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's
a lot of people who do not have a choice.
Yeah. So. For those people, and then they're going to get blamed for it. It's like, you know, you lazy bastards, why didn't you leave?
You can't.
I can't.
You know? If you have the means to get out, you should get out.
Yes. There should be some way to assist people getting out.
Sure, yes. Or help some folks who can't get out, get out.
So,
and if you can't get out, then just, you know, then you got to do the best you can.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I notice all those people rushing to the stores to buy up all the water and the gas and all that stuff. But what if it's not even you living paycheck to paycheck. You suddenly looking at the store and they're gouging prices. Mm-hmm. They jacked up the price of gas.
Right.
There's no water left because you can't go buy bottled water and the system is messed up, so there's no water. Well, where is FEMA and where's the state stockpile of stuff for people who can't do that?
Mm.
You know,
well, they bring it in after.
Well, yeah, but you know, you should say, you know, if you're getting Medicaid or you're on some recipient of some aid, and you don't have all the kind of money that you need, there ought to be a place that you can go. Mm. There ought to be an emergency food pantry where you can go get some water and some food. And, you know, those are the kind of plans, you know. I mean.
But I guess to your other point, if you can't even get out, how do you get to those places before the storm? If you're going to ride it out.
Yeah, but you should, again, I'm saying that if
so
you're running.
So it's a good idea.
You're running the agency properly and you've got, I mean, as much as I get sometimes worried about privacy, but it is really good sometimes to know enough about people so that if you can run your database and say, hey, these are the homeless people or these are the women in shelters who are hiding out from abusive husbands. I know where they are. They don't have any money. He may have the car, so you can't go say, hey, pick up your wife and kids and get them out of town because you're going to get them out of town and beat the crap out of them. Mm-hmm. No, that ain't. So I'm just saying there's some ways of using technology to protect people on that level.
Yes.
it just requires some thought and some actions, and that doesn't get done because, you know, they don't have lobbyists.
Right, and it's like, you know, it's just really comes down to political.
Yeah, so, anyway, it's just really bizarre, and I don't know what to do about it. And also, the other thing that has been irritating me is watching the constant coverage of the hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's not important, but I don't need 24 hours a day. Well, it's moved 3 feet, and it's going to move this way, and the winds have dropped by 5 miles per hour, but it's still 175 mile an hour winds. And I'm like, okay, I heard about the earthquake. I got a little notification from BBC saying there's a giant earthquake in Mexico. I didn't hear about it on any of the cable news for at least an hour before somebody said, oh yeah, you know there's an earthquake. And also, half of Northern California is on fire.
Yes.
Half of British Columbia in Canada is on fire.
I was going to mention that there is, I think it may have been the Times, they had the photos of these three natural disasters happening at the same time in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fires. Oh, no, and around the world, it was the earthquake in Mexico, the fires in
California.
And then the hurricanes.
It's on the East Coast. Yeah. So, and then, of course, we don't talk about anything else around the world. 2 weeks ago, when they had that big rain and flood in Sierra Leone.
Yes.
And bunches of people died.
I don't remember the number. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was like 600 people.
Yeah, that's...
But, you know, so Tuesday we're having a telethon for, you know, the people in the hurricane victims here in the U.S., and they just added Mexico. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. They have Sierra Leone had a big, huge rain. New Delhi's flooded.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So there are all these things going on around the world, and we don't know about them. And that's my frustration, and I guess that moves us into my frustration with the news media.
Their coverage.
Yeah, and it's not...
Coverage of...
Anything that outside the U.S. or outside U.S. politics.
We're very U.S.-centric.
And I wouldn't mind that so much if they would do their jobs. See, I'm not about the right-wing, left-wing persuade of the news media. My thing is they're just not doing their jobs. They're not investigating stuff. They're not following up on stuff. They're not pointing out obvious hypocrisy. I mean,
they don't think they've started to with this administration?
Yeah, but it took him just being so blatant, you know. Then you go, well, what are you supposed to do? you know, this guy's just, I mean, it's just blatant lies.
Right.
I mean, other...
No apologies, too. So how do you combat that?
No,
I've asked that before. How do you combat that kind of attitude? Yeah. There's no rationale behind it.
Yeah, he...
Well, you have to find what they care about or what their weakness is. You know, he cares about perception.
Yeah, that's... But yeah,
having perception about himself, that's
right,
it.
Right, right. It's about me.
Yeah.
And,
So if you can attack his character or something like that, it's more important to him than anything.
But aside from the craziness of Donald, I'm just talking about regular news coverage.
Sure,
stuff that happens that we don't hear about, or it gets, or they hype it. Like, oh, down in St. Martin's. So immediately they start talking about the looters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm not in favor of what things are going on. But I just remember during Katrina, you would see a black person going into a store and taking stuff, and they were looters.
Right.
And you would see a white person go in doing the same thing, and they were just providing for their families.
Of course. Of course.
And it's like, okay, now, I I'm not in favor of some guy walking in with a gun and taking your stuff, because he's trying to you know, protect him. I mean, protect his own. Don't like the method. But people of color get tagged with looters, and the other people get tagged as survivors. They're just trying to survive.
Of course.
So the language bothers me. You know, you were saying earlier you didn't like dreamers for as a tag for those undocumented Americans. So I, so it's language, and it's being lazy. I mean, there's some words. If I was still an editor, there'd be words I would ban. If I hear somebody, one more person say, at the end of the day, or the fact of the matter is,
At the end of the day, I can't stand that one.
Or at the, it's unprecedented.
Right. And as writers, I always think, can't you guys come up with something else?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that your job?
Yes.
Or at least, well, you know what? It's like musicians just trying to copy somebody else too.
It sounds
popular, so let's just run with it. No.
And some of it is just laziness. It's like, oh, let's find this word that we can use and sort of everybody understands, and so we can say unprecedented. And it means that nobody else has ever done this. Mm-hmm. You know, this stuff, this guy is off the chart as far as how he does things. I mean, there's lots of ways of saying but unprecedented, everybody uses it. And the fact of the matter is, when you're having a discussion about something where both of you are dealing with two different sets of facts, so you can't say the fact of the matter is. No, mm-hmm. That's why we're having this discussion. There is no fact of the matter, because you don't agree on the facts.
Right.
And the reporters aren't challenging any of this when they have a chance to. I mean, even live. I mean, you've got a laptop sitting in front of you. You can Google anything now. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take that long to go look up something and see if that's bolsters either one of their arguments. It's crazy. But that's welcome to the 21st century news.
That's the news.
Yelling
that's
events. The news.
So with the hurricanes, do what you can. Donate to the Red Cross, which is a reputable organization, or another reputable organization that you choose.
Yeah. In this case, normally I do the Red Cross thing too. But in Houston, and I'm assuming they're going to be in Florida, there are local charities that are online and that you can go see if there are any local charities that you can give to. And also there's a... there's a website called GuideStar, and it is a place where you can check to see all of the charities and whether they're legitimate or not, and where their money really goes and how much money gets spent.
Yeah, GuideStar is good.
Yeah, you're so right. That's and then there's also one called Charity Navigator. So if you're confused or you don't want to give to the Red Cross or to the Salvation Army, you want to give to somebody really local, check those, and check the local. If you know any people in the area, and you can text them, see if they have any suggestions for where you can send money.
Great, great. And to the people down there, be safe. We hope you make it through and be able to rebuild as quickly as possible.
Amen.